Hey, this podcast replay is brought to you by VSS West Pines, your one-stop shop for any and all vape and smoke shop needs. When knowledge counts, call 954-613-3367 or visit on social media at VSS West Pines.
Oh, we have David Dwork for you, sir.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, we'll get back to your chatting, super chatting questions, all kinds of comments. In a couple of minutes here, David Dwork does an excellent job of covering the Panthers for WPLG. He's got a terrific podcast called Chirping the Cats. The Panthers are, I guess, they're in the playoffs now by default. They get to face the Islanders. David, of course, covers them on a daily basis. Let's bring him aboard. David, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Big Joe. Hope you're doing pretty good as well.
Listen, man, we're out here at Toyota of Hollywood like we've been every single week. So we are blessed that we still get to do some work while we're out here. So we are one of the few lucky ones, actually, to be able to do what we love, even during a pandemic, which is not easy to do, my man. So hope you and the family are doing well and you're safe. What's been the highlight of the quarantine for you?
Highlight of the quarantine? It's hard to say, man. Every day seems so similar. I mean, like you said, we're definitely some of the lucky ones that we're able to do what we love amid this crazy times. But I don't know. The Jordan documentary was good. but right now it's fun because sports are starting to kind of inch their way back into the limelight and get going again. So that's pretty exciting for me.
Yeah, and I was just talking to Craig Mishnow. It's amazing how hockey is coming back and Major League Soccer's coming back. Football's working its way back. Basketball is working its way back. And yet baseball is the only one that's haggling about money. And it always seems like – isn't that kind of screwed up how all the other leagues, they're just worried about coming back healthy, and meanwhile baseball is worried about its finances. That's kind of screwed up, isn't it, as a fan?
I mean, it is as a fan, but like the analytical brain goes to work and I'm thinking, well, baseball, hockey and basketball, they've all been paid most of their money already. Football isn't talking about any kind of a break or they're planning to do everything on time. So everybody's planning
and
to get their cookies on
time.
And
the MLS too has to take pay cuts too. I mean,
Yeah. Well, this is also true, but I'm just playing devil's advocate, but like MLS dollars and MLB dollars are very different. And I'm not saying that the MLB players are right, wrong, whatever. It's just a different situation for them because the season hasn't started yet. So whatever precedents they set when they get started, they're going to be stuck with.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious to find out how many of the players are of this belief of the ones that we're seeing come out on social media that they're all, we want our money. This isn't right. How many of them just want to get out there and play?
I got to tell you, David, I'm actually siding more with the players than the owners in this case because like if Mike Trout or some of these star players have to take a 70% pay cut, are you kidding me? Why? Because they're the ones that fill the stadiums up. And so that to me is kind of odd the way they're kind of breaking it down. But that's what I do respect about all the other leagues, that they had their financial hurdles that they had to talk about, but they overcame them quickly. Baseball always has a problem with financial hurdles more than any of the other sports. And so it's just kind of odd. But on the hockey side, my man, are you happy with the way they kind of came about with their decision and going with this 2014 playoff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody pretty much across the board is happy with it. You're not seeing any complaints because any team that was on the fringe, that was fighting for their season, wanting to get in, had the chance to continue to do that and to compete for the Stanley Cup. And the teams that didn't get in, there was no preconceived notions about any of them winning the cup this year anyway. You look at, all the California teams, you look at the Detroit Red Wings or the Buffalo Sabres. So, preparing for the draft is something that they needed to be doing anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good situation. And it gives teams like, the Panthers, the Rangers, teams that were hot towards the end that were trying to get in there. The Rangers obviously weren't the Panthers in that sense. But, it gives them a chance to fight and to do something that they've been sitting around waiting for some sense of, like, what's going to happen. So now they know I get to go and I get to play for the Stanley Cup.
Let me ask you something because I thought about this, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong here. Now, You know already I'm off the Dale Tallon bandwagon. Obviously, I think they need to make a change. But because of COVID, and this is something in general in sports, not just for the Panthers, but everybody else. David, I almost get a sense that very few teams will make changes unless your coach or your general manager's contract is expiring this year. But if you've got a coach or a GM that has extra years left, because of all the losses, I can't see, and all the off seasons are going to be shortened for everybody because this is throwing everybody's, you know, regular season completely off. I almost can't see teams making any kind of changes because financially that will be more hits for the owner, because if you do change a coach or general manager, then scouting departments change, coaching's changes, and then that means all those salaries are guaranteed and you've got to pay all of those. Because of COVID, even if the Panthers wanted to make a change with Dale Tallon, I don't think they will. I don't think anybody's really going to make changes with any kind of front office or head coach because of all the losses that they've had to endure. Do you agree or disagree with that theory?
No, that's a really good point to think about. And on to kind of add to what you're saying, not just the financial aspect, but you think of logistically all of the knowledge, all of the planning, everything, all the scouting of your players, the players that you're looking at, all of that information has to get transmitted. It's a very hard task to pull off remotely. So you're talking about that. You're talking about the financial aspect. I'm thinking about more like nobody can meet with anybody. Nobody's going to the facilities. Like, there's so many different aspects at play that I totally agree with you now that I'm thinking about it, that it makes sense. It wouldn't make sense really to make any of those kind of changes right now because, I mean, just logistically, both from a financial standpoint and from an organizational standpoint, the overhaul would be ridiculous right now with all the COVID stuff going on.
Right, exactly. So having said all that, this is an ownership group that did kind of make a change with Dale Tallon a few years back. It didn't work out with Tom Rowe, and to their credit, one of the reasons why I love this ownership group, they don't mess around, man. They didn't think it was working, and they changed back right away. Well, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, hindsight is 2020. They might have, okay, not executed it right, but they might have had the right vision. So if you can't make a change, is there any shot that things get altered this offseason a little bit with Dale Tallon? Because I know Dale Tallon was quoted recently as saying it's going to be one heck of an offseason, or, you know, a challenging offseason. And I'm wondering, wow, should they even give him that offseason? But then I thought about my whole COVID theory thing, and I'm thinking, well, guess what? Not a lot of people can make changes. So you tell me, what's that next step if there are any kind of changes above?
I would think that it just depends on with their salary cap situation as it currently stands. They have no space. They're going to be losing guys off the top, like Hoffman is coming off, Dadnov, the free agent guys. And it just really depends. Like, there's so much unknown right now because, as you said, of the COVID. I don't think they would do something like they did with the first time that they kind of demoted Dale, with going, you know, completely changing their mindset, going after the more analytical approach. Because now, mainly, it's not just Tallon. It's Tallon and Q. They're kind of in simpatico in that way. And I think any decision-making, whether it be through free agents or prospects or whatever, it's not just Dale. Like, Q is going to play a big part in building what his roster looks like, just like they did it in Chicago the first time they were together. Q knows what he wants his team to look like, and he and Dale need to work together to put that on the ice. So I don't see any big changes in the terms of the way that they're thinking. Changes could be coming, certainly, during the offseason, just because, as I said, you've got, you know, key players that are free agents, and you have to make decisions on those. But I can't – it just – For all the reasons we've discussed and so many more, it's hard to see any big major changes. It'd be hard to pull off. And so fortunately for the Panthers, I think even though obviously the season didn't go the way that it was planned, they're still getting into a postseason opportunity. They still have, I still believe that they have a very solid roster. It's just a matter of playing well on the ice. But player-wise, I think they're pretty well set up for a good run here, O. it's just going to be a matter of what they decide to do with the little dollars that they have left to spend coming up this summer.
All right, so what do you like about this matchup for them against the Islanders, if that's what the matchup is now?
It's a good matchup in the sense that the Islanders aren't a very high-scoring team, whereas the Panthers, they can score very well. The Islanders, their bread and butter last season and for the first half of this season was they're an extremely good defensive hockey club. It seems that teams started to figure out how to play them because the goals against started to rise. Their February and March is actually worse than the Panthers' February, if you can believe that. They went into the break, I think, with six straight losses. They had given up like three or more goals in, I'm trying to remember my notes, but like 10 to 15 games. So the Islanders were in a bad place the second half of the season. Whereas the beginning of the season, they went on that like 17-game unbeaten streak, and they were amazing. So the unknown, is how are these guys, any of them, going to come out of this break? How much is what they were playing like in February and March going to play into what they're playing like in July and August? It's just such an, you know, to steal the phrase that everybody's using, you know, in these uncertain times, like it's so hard to guesstimate what may happen. But just, you know, looking at it on paper, which unfortunately it's kind of the metric right now, I really like the Panthers matchup, especially going right down to, I know we always talk about goaltending, Orlando. The main reason the Islanders pulled that series in 2016, and one of the reasons they've had a lot of success against the Panthers since then, is that they've got this goalie named Thomas Greiss, who absolutely owns the Panthers. His save percentage against Florida is close to like 950, which is unbelievable. But now Florida has a goaltender as well, and we saw last year that this is a goalie that can absolutely steal a playoff series when we saw Bob and Columbus sweep Tampa last spring. So I'm excited for the matchup. I wish it would be seven games instead of five, obviously, but now I'm getting greedy. But I think the Panthers match up well against the Islanders, and it should be a good series.
Well, let's hope so. We definitely need a good series, man. It would be nice if they can actually, you know, advance around here, at least. That would at least make you feel a little – because really, let's be honest. If they lose this series, the season's a failure, right? I mean, it's not a good season at all. You technically didn't make the playoffs, and you couldn't win in the first round, and you don't see any progress. If you win, at least now you can say, well, maybe, you know what? Maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel now. Now maybe we can build on something. I think that there's a positive of being thrown into this 24-team tournament, but the negative is if you can't win in the first round of a 24-team tournament, that doesn't really give you a lot of hope for the future for this group, is my point.
Yeah, a win would be huge, yes. Orlando. You know, they haven't won a playoff series since 1996. I'm no math whiz, but that's a long time. So even winning this, you know, whatever you want to call it, rinky-dink qualifying round, asterisk, playoff, whatever, we'll take it. We'll take it 7 days a week and twice on Sundays.
Yes.
So go out there, beat up on an Islanders team that was really struggling the second half of the year. Go score 3-4 goals a game. Let Bob do his thing and give fans something to be excited about. I mean, you know, this region goes crazy for winners.
Yes.
And right now, with absolutely no sports going on, if the Panthers can be the first one out of the gate and do something significant, like win a playoff series, I mean, nobody's going to be out banging pots and pans, but it'll still be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to see how the South Florida fans react to it.
No doubt. What are you working on? When's the next Chirping the Cats, my brother?
Next Chirping the Cats, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. It's been a little stop and go with the coronavirus and everything. But I've got a couple ideas for the next one. Right now, it's just starting to hopefully get ready for the season to resume and to get these playoffs going. It's nice to actually have a little blood flowing in the hockey brain right now.
There you go. Good stuff, man. As always, David, I appreciate you taking some time. Check out David's work there at WPLG's website as he's covering the Panthers. We get a little hockey back. Hopefully, our Panthers can stay alive for a little while in these playoffs. David, as always, my man, you stay safe. You and the family, as always, appreciate you, man.
You too, my friend. Love to you and the family. Take care of yourself.
You got it. Follow him on Twitter at David Dwork. He is a good man and does an excellent job covering the Cats. Let's get a little super chat in. Don Parlamento, Thank you, Don, chiming in on the Super Chat.
Oh, wow.
Recent research has shown...
Super Chat.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, you're getting focused on all the wrong sort of details here. You need to forget about all the normal rules that apply in society.
Wasted no time. Super Chat. I thought it was really, 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 really cool.
You should all be very proud of yourself.
I have no response.
Super Chat.
That was perfect.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate you, man, chiming in on the Super Chat and giving us a little love and support, as always. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There we go. Bro Marshmelly goes, always talking about hockey, I think. Drew Bo goes, damn, oh, this chat is in a different area. Oh, Lordy.
You know something? David's right, man. If we win a playoff series, irregardless, because, I remember, it was probably 2 months ago, and I remember we were at Craig's Inn when we looked it up and it was like, we haven't won a playoff series since the Stanley Cup year.
Yeah, exactly.
That's,
Winning a series would be, that would make me feel a little better about these Panthers. Cause you know me, I'm so down on Talon, it's not even funny.
No,
I'm just
not you.
I'm just so down on Talon. I just think he's a total phony, man. We totally got a guy that is, forget it, not done. All right, Alexa V chiming in on the Super Chat.
I know that, dude.
Yeah.
Where'd you get this?
Super Chats!
Oh, gnarly!
Awesome! Totally awesome!
Thank you, Alexa V. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me tell you a little bit. Baker Mayfield. Did you guys hear a little Baker Mayfield? So, Baker, I kind of laugh at this because... Baker is trying to sell a new Baker Mayfield. And then again, he's trying to tell you that he's an old Baker Mayfield selling the new Baker Mayfield. And I know I'm kind of confusing you. So Baker, coming into year three, obviously had the great rookie year. Surprised me, actually. Played better than I expected him to. Then in year two, I kind of saw the Baker I was expecting. And so now, year three, it's kind of figuring out which Baker is real. And you can't go, oh, well, they're not giving him enough. He's got more than enough. Offensive line, weapons, all of that. There are no excuses. So here's Baker Mayfield talking about his approach to season three of his career.
I have a different approach to this year. I think it's, everybody that has been interviewed in our team has kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head over and over about, you know, it's just time to work. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. This is the first media thing I've done just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it. And right now it's, you know, kind of moving in silence, which is fine with me. That's how I used to do it before getting on a bigger stage. So I'm happy to get back to those roots. And, like I said earlier, get back to the fundamentals to where I can accomplish the goals when the season comes around.
So it's how he used to do it before he got on a bigger stage. Well, I saw him at Oklahoma. That's where he was grabbing his nuts while he was talking smack to the other sideline, or when he was planting a flag in midfield, or when he was trying to run away drunk from a police officer. What stage are we talking about there, Baker? Baker is brash. Baker has been Mr. Ballsy his entire life. That he's always been the guy. In fact, I don't believe Baker Mayfield has a shot in hell in succeeding in the NFL or anywhere in college, high school, if he's not brash, if he's not bold and trying to get it out there. Yeah, I know that you walk that fine line that if you don't talk it and walk it at the same time, it makes you look really bad. I get all of that, Baker. And you did a lot of talking before your rookie year, during your rookie year, and after your rookie year, and then you kind of fell on your face in your sophomore year. Now you're headed into your junior year, and you want to kind of dial it back. But that's not who you are. That's not who you've ever been. The real question is, can you ball at this level on a consistent basis? Or are you a one-trick pony that they kind of figured you out? Because that's what defensive coordinators do in this league. They get you on tape, and then they figure you out, and then they say, okay, he can't do this. And so a lot of people are going to look at that Titans-Baltimore game, and they're going to go, well, they shut down that Baltimore running game, and then they made it much harder for the quarterback, Lamar Jackson. So now a lot of people are going to say, well, then let's take the ball away from Lamar in the running game and make him a passer and see if he can beat us. That's going to be the MO now on Lamar. And we're going to find out if he can answer the bell this year as a passer. We know he can run the hell out of the ball, but you can't live that way in the NFL. They're going to break you in half. Well, Baker Mayfield, they knew that you can only roll to one side. They knew what you like to do. And then they figured out, let's take away what he likes to do, and now let's see what he does. And he didn't have a counter to it. Let's take away his first option. Let's see what he's got. He didn't have a counter to it. So now he's got to come back, and he's got to show him that he can go through his progressions. He's got to show him that he can roll out the opposite direction and throw the ball. All of those kind of things. So now Baker has got a – it's a chess game. And defensive coordinators made their move. Now Baker's got to counter these moves. But I'll tell you something. He's got to be himself. And that's who he is. Whether you succeed or you fail, you are going to be Brett Favre. Don't change who you are. Okay? And Johnny Manziel failed, but that's who he is. Now, he failed because he can't play at that level. Now we're going to find out. But don't try to tone down your personality. You are who you are. Oh, and one more thing. You didn't fail last year because of your personality. You failed last year because they kind of figured you out. Now you've got a counter. Has nothing to do with what you say. It's more about what you didn't do. Julius 305 in a super chat. Thank you, Julius.
I know that, dude.
Where'd you get this?
Super chat.
Oh, gnarly.
Awesome. Totally awesome.
There you go. Mike, no go zones goes. Cleveland is where QBs go to die. Well, we're going to find out if he can survive now after this offseason.
Sounds like Baker's really confused. He doesn't know who he is, who he wants to be, who he needs to be.
Well, he better figure it out, because if he fails this season, Browns fans are going to let him have it. And obviously he's not going to get a break because he was a top pick in the draft. You know, so we shall see. Listen, he proved me wrong as hell that rookie year. And then the second year, I was like, yeah, no, that's what I expected. So we'll see. Some of us didn't buy Baker, and some of us did. Now we'll see in year three. He'll decide which one's right and which one's wrong, because this is going to be a really important year for Baker Mayfield. He better come through. Speaking of the Browns, you guys know that the Dolphins were interested in Jadeveon Clowney, right? And I don't know if you know this, but Jadeveon Clowney was offered also a contract by the Cleveland Browns. And so Miami offered him money, but actually the Browns offered him the most money. And he turned that down too. The Browns, according to Adam Schefter on the Next Level podcast, he said, I just think he had balked to go to Cleveland for whatever reason. I think he's been hesitant to go because if he wasn't, he would have gone already, because it's the most money, it's the richest offer on the table, and he hasn't taken it. Clowney's 27, remains on the free agent list out there, and apparently they offered in the neighborhood of $21 million, and he turned it down. That's weird, man.
What the hell is this guy thinking?
He goes, I don't know if people think I'm hurt because what I went through, because of the core, or because of previous years. I'm ready. I'll be ready to go whenever the time comes. Whoever I sign with, the best version, they'll get the best version of me. In Schefter's report, the Browns offered close to $21 million, which was his per-year target. He turned down the Dolphins and the Seahawks at 18.5 and $17 million, respectfully. Okay? Now, DeMarcus Lawrence signed a five-year, $105 million contract, and Khalil Mack signed a six-year, $141 million contract. I don't know if he's waiting for something like that. Okay? So I don't know who's going to commit that kind of money to him. I don't know if he keeps waiting, but the money is drying up as you wait. Not that people are being signed right now, but most everybody's been signed now. So most of the cap spaces have been taken up. Very few teams like the Dolphins still have a lot of cap space. But are you waiting for money and a contender? Because most contenders don't have money now at this point. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a lot of contenders sitting around going, yeah, we got $22 million for you. Come on down. And if you want to offer him that money, go ahead. But this is a guy that averages 9 sacks a year. I just can't give that kind of money to that guy. For the Dolphins, I understood it was a short-term deal, so they were just going to add to their pass rush, and it's not a guy that they were going to commit to long-term. And maybe that's what he wanted. He wants that $130 million deal from the Dolphins. And listen, he would have gotten that deal if it was Mike Tannenbaum in place. But Mike Tannenbaum's not in place. So I'm not sure what the hell Jadeveon Clowney is waiting for. I really don't know. Last year, it was Le'Veon Bell mishandling his career and holding out for a year and leaving $15, $16 million, whatever it was, on the table. Money he never made up for it again. Or it was 2 years ago, I'm sorry. This year, it's watching Jadeveon Clowney screw up his career. I don't get it. At this point, man, if you're somewhere in the ballpark and like Seattle wanted you, if they wanted you at a reasonable rate, why didn't you just go to Seattle, man? That's a pretty good team. You know what? If you want to turn down the Dolphins because they're in rebuild mode, I get it. You've got a rebuilt knee. You don't have a lot of time. You know, you want to make sure that you have a shot at contending and the Dolphins aren't going to be contending for a couple years. I get that. At least I get that. But when a good team's offering you decent money and you know you've got that knee injury and you really have never turned into that elite pass rusher that everybody thought you were going to be, and it's not your fault, dude. You blew out your knee. The fact that you've come back from that knee and you've had a good career, it's actually a great accomplishment in his part. But he never turned into the pass rusher that people thought he was going to be. Never. At no point he ever turned into that player.
The guy that flips over the sled in practice, right?
Right.
The beast.
Yes, exactly. I just, you know, it's weird, man. It's really odd. All right, let's do this.
He's got a very inflated opinion of himself, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a couple more things I want to address when I come back. Let's take a quick break here since we're at the top of the hour to wrap up hour number, what is this, three?
We are sailing into hour number four.
Right, we're going to sail into hour number four. I got a couple things I want to get off my chest before we wrap it up here on the show. Got still a bunch of things I want to get to. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Big O Show, live from Toyota of Hollywood.
It's a buyer's market at Toyota of Hollywood. Over 1,500 Toyotas on the ground, and truckloads just keep on coming. Now pay up to 50% less. 2020 Camry, not $29,000, $17,775. 2020 Corolla, not $22,000, $13,775. Buy a new 2020 Toyota with zero down and 0% financing, or we'll make your payments till 2021 at Toyota of Hollywood, the number one volume Toyota dealer on 441 between Hollywood Boulevard and Sheridan Street.
Are you tired of watching the same old travel videos on the internet? Well, then check out MikeNoGoZones.com, a travel documentary that's breaking barriers. I go to the places that the media tells you to fear, where no one else dares to go. Baltimore, Opa-locka, south side of Chicago, and more. go to MikeNogoZones.com.
No one expects to get into a crash, but I expect you to go to AccidentLawFirm.com if you do. Make sure when hiring a driver, you go through a rideshare app so that you can be covered by the insurance, which can be up to $1 million, whether you're a passenger or a driver. In other words, don't try to save a few bucks by paying cash instead of going through the app. I'm attorney Bobby Nunez from Nunez Law in Miami, and we're here to help you through the process. Go to AccidentLawFirm.com for a free consultation from me, Bobby Nunez. That's AccidentLawFirm.com.
America's safest and best-selling compact luxury SUV is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. RDX, $339 a month at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.